Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, once again, we're going to throw the lines open. This hour is your hour. This hour is dedicated to you. If you're listening to the radio, watching television, surfing the web, maybe you come across a science story that captures your imagination. Something about space, something about our world, something about DNA, something about cancer research, health, but there's no one to talk to. You're all by yourself. Well, you can talk to me. That's right. You can give me a call and have your thoughts heard on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Write that number down. 612-564-8135. All we ask is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you. Also, today I'm actually recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm speaking at a science conference here. A lot of engineers and scientists will be in the audience, but of course, I'm not that far away from Roswell, New Mexico, where some people think a flying saucer crashed back in 1947, hushed up by the military. And once I actually sponsored a debate on radio. On one hand, we had a representative from the United States Air Force, a retired Air Force official who said, "Bah, humbug, none of this nonsense about aliens from outer space, it's all trumped up." And then, on the other side, we had a true believer, an author of several books about the Roswell incident, who believed that the Air Force was covering up the fact that alien bodies were recovered from a flying saucer crash. Well, I still remember the Air Force official said, "Wait a minute, it was a weather balloon." That's all it was, a weather balloon. And then the critics said, "Now, wait a minute, why would the Air Force cover it up if it was just a weather balloon?" And then the Air Force official kind of like hemmed and hawed, because if it is just a weather balloon, Project Mogul, that crashed, why the cover-up? Why this elaborate PR effect? Well, it turns out that the military, over the years, would actually deliberately, tantalizingly talk about flying saucers in order to deflect criticism of the stealth bomber. The stealth bomber was being perfected in area like Area 51, and the military wanted to keep top secret some of our experiments on the stealth bomber, so they deliberately floated flying saucer stories. But something then came out a few years after that. A few years after that, in Albuquerque, the press here noted the fact that the military conducted top secret experiments on radiation dispersal using unknowing American citizens as guinea pigs. The United States military would release radioactive materials in populated areas like Cincinnati, for example. Think about it. Radioactive debris being thrown into the air so that the military could trace and track the flow of these volatile radioactive materials in the atmosphere without permission of U.S. citizens. We were the guinea pigs. And apparently that's one of the reasons why the military hushed up a weather balloon, because they didn't want people to probe deeper to find out that the military was actually experimenting on the U.S. population, shooting radioactive materials into people's backyards, into the atmosphere, just to see how radiation spreads in the environment. Well, people sometimes say that maybe history is repeating itself again. Vladimir Putin just a few months ago announced the fact that the Russians are perfecting a new type of weapon, the hypersonic drive. It is a vehicle that can travel many times faster than the speed of sound, not just supersonic, but hypersonic, capable of evading any ground radar. That's why they're doing it. And the military in the United States and the Chinese then were also forced to admit that they too are working on hypersonic drives. And maybe that's what's buzzing our aircraft. Our aircraft sometimes says something is buzzing them faster, faster than any known vehicle that we know of. Maybe it's hypersonic drive. Well, who knows for sure, but let's continue now, because we're going to throw the lines open and you can get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number once again is 612-564-8135. Ask that question. Make that comment and have your thoughts heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Okay, let's move on and take the first listener phone call.
Hi, this is Armand from Queens, New York, and I listen to you on YouTube. I watch these murder mysteries, and they usually give the suspect a polygraph. But I've heard that polygraphs aren't that accurate. So what are your speculations on that? And do you think there's new technology, coming that can be more effective than the polygraph, like brain scan or something like that? Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Well, yes, ever since ancient times, people have wondered, how do you detect if someone is lying to you? During the Middle Ages, for example, somebody would grab both wrists and check your pulse in your wrist and then ask you questions. If you begin to hesitate, act nervous, and sweat, you could detect that because your pulse rate went up because somebody was holding both wrists as you were being interrogated. So that was a crude, but it was a way in which you could detect increase in blood pressure, which does correspond to lying in certain circumstances. Today, we have a battery of ways in which we can so-called detect lies. We can look at, for example, sweat. Sweat is salt water. Salt water conducts electricity. So by analyzing the conductivity of your skin, by putting two small electrodes on your skin, you can detect whether or not you're sweating, and therefore whether or not you are, quote, telling a lie. Your breathing rate, your heartbeat, the conductivity of your skin, any number of ways are put together to create a polygraph, which can be beaten. If you can psychologically control your body so that you don't tense up, you don't start to sweat, get nervous, but you distract yourself by thinking about the seashore or birds or thinking about something else, you can actually train yourself to defeat a polygraph. And now we have brain scans. Get a copy of my book, The Future of the Mind, and you'll be shocked to find out how much materials that we can actually get from the living brain. But looking at blood flow in the brain, we can actually see thoughts as they're being created in the living brain. This is amazing. This means that old wives' tales can actually be proven to be correct in some cases. Many parents believe, for example, that teenagers suffer from brain damage. Well, that's partly true. Brain scans of the prefrontal cortex of teenagers show that it's not fully developed. So their ability to evaluate risk-taking is faulty, and that's why teenagers take unnecessary risks. Another old wives' tale that you can show by using brain scans, well, many people believe that when a man talks to a pretty girl, he starts to act stupid. Well, if you brain scan someone who's talking to a pretty girl, sure enough, blood drains from the prefrontal cortex, and the man starts to stutter and act mentally retarded. So this is actually a biological mechanism that you can measure, quantify, something that most people believe, and that when a man talks to a pretty girl, he starts to act stupid. Well, can you use this as a lie detector? That's the question, and we'll answer that question after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. After the break, we'll answer the question, can you brain scan somebody and tell if they're lying to you? Once again, give us a call at 612-564-8135.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call and you can have your thoughts heard on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. We've archived previous shows of Science Fantastic. The website is mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers, and one of them is The Future of the Mind, where I do talk about brain scans, using brain scans as a lie detector test. And the question is, how accurate are they anyway? Well, it turns out that when you look at brain scans of the human brain, when you tell a lie, it registers the usual thing. The brain, of course, controls sweating activity involuntarily, sweating activity, pulse rate. You can pick that up on a brain scan. But lying and telling the truth or telling a lie, we have not found the center in the brain that does that. Maybe there is no center of the brain that does that. We don't know. But at the present time, we have not located that point of the brain where, if you tell a lie, it begins to light up. So when people say that with 99% accuracy, brain scans can detect liars, well, that's kind of stretching it. Brain scans can detect a lot of things, which you can also detect using ordinary polygraphs. But brain scans are still primitive. We're in the beginning stages. Maybe eventually we'll find that center of the brain that regulates truth and untruth. But right now, we have not yet found it. So don't believe it when people say that with 99% accuracy, we can use MRI scans as lie detectors. That's not to say that it won't be possible in the future, but at the present time, brain scans are still in their infancy. Okay, well, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
My name is Abigail, and my question is, why do plants with larger mass have a different amount of gravity than plants with smaller mass? Thank you.
Well, it was Isaac Newton himself who figured out that the larger the planet, the more the gravity. In fact, he found the precise relationship between gravity and mass. The force between two objects is proportional to the masses of these objects divided by the distance squared times a constant, the universal gravitational constant. Using that equation, bingo, he was able to calculate the motion of comets, like Halley's Comet. That was a tremendous victory for science because people didn't know what guided the planets, and especially they didn't know where comets came from. But using Newton's laws, you could actually calculate the trajectory, the future trajectory of Halley's Comet, and then Halley was able to predict when Halley's Comet would return back to light up the skies over London. But you ask a slightly deeper question. Why? Why is it that gravity is related to mass? Well, now we have yet another theory, Einstein's theory, that takes it one step farther. And that is that mass warps the space around it. The bigger the mass, the more the warping. The more the warping, the more the distortion of an object moving in the gravitational field. So objects move in a curved line going around the sun, like the Earth, because the sun has warped the space around the Earth. And that's why the Earth goes around the sun. In fact, that's why you're sitting in your chair right now. How come you're not floating? How come you're not being hurled 1,000 miles per hour into outer space? Because that's the velocity that you are traveling at right now. You are traveling at 1,000 miles per hour. The Earth's circumference is 24,000 miles, and there are 24 hours in a day. So bingo, you divide, and you get the fact that you're moving at 1,000 miles per hour. So why? Not because gravity is pulling you down, that's what Newton would say, but because space is pushing you down. So to summarize Einstein's theory of general relativity in one sentence, it is that gravity does not pull, space pushes. And then you may ask yet another question. Why is that? Why is that? Why is it that the larger the mass, the greater the warping, and the greater the gravitational attraction? Well, the answer to that is we don't know. Sorry about that. That is a postulate given to us by Newton and now by Einstein. Where does that come from? We think that eventually comes from string theory. But then you may ask another embarrassing question. Where does string theory come from? Well, at that point, I plead guilty. I don't know. And for that matter, neither does any physicist on the planet Earth. Okay, well, let's move on now to take the next listener phone call.
Hey, this is Dave P., 1340 KPRK, Livingston, Montana. My question to you is, what is your opinion on wormholes? Do you think that that's something that someday we can exploit and actually use? Do they exist? And please give me your opinion. Thank you.
Well, if you want to see a wormhole in graphic detail, look at Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Whenever Star Trek Deep Space Nine begins, it opens up with a wormhole that looks very much like a whirlpool or a funnel. Well, unfortunately, that's not what a wormhole looks like. Sorry about that. But in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, wormholes are gateways to another point in the galaxy, which occur naturally. So they're not artificial. They're created naturally. They're found, and when you find them, they can become a very cheap gateway to the other sector of the galaxy. Well, what does the science say about these things? Well, wormholes were first introduced by Albert Einstein himself. Yes, it was 1935 that Einstein wrote a famous paper with his students, Nathan Rosen, called the Einstein-Rosen Bridge Paper. He took two black holes, which sort of resemble a funnel, stuck them back to back. Take two funnels, cut them, stick them back to back, and if you fall into one funnel, you fall out of the other funnel. That is a wormhole. It's a gateway. It's a shortcut through space and time. Now, Einstein himself did not think that we could create a wormhole. Of course, he was playing with black holes, so it would take the energy of a black hole. But he did believe that this was very interesting because they were solutions of Einstein's equations. So think of Alice's looking glass. The looking glass of Alice is the wormhole. Alice sits in Oxford, England. On the other side is the Mad Hatter in Wonderland. And by going through the looking glass, you instantly are transported to another point in the universe. Well, you can also use this as a time machine as well. In fact, my colleague Stephen Hawking, who recently passed away, posthumously has published a book. And in the book he says, well, he's backtracking a bit, he now believes that time travel through wormholes may be possible. He used to say it was not possible, but he has since backtracked, and his latest book, written posthumously, says that perhaps wormholes can also be used as time machines. Now, what's the catch? There's always a catch someplace, otherwise somebody would have built one of these damn things years ago, right? The catch is, well, as Einstein himself realized, to create a wormhole, you need fabulous amounts of positive energy, like a black hole, and then negative energy to stabilize it, to keep it open. So it was Einstein himself who realized that positive energy, in the form of a black hole, might rip the fabric of space and time, but Stephen Hawking had a mathematical proof, showing that if you have enough negative energy, you can stabilize it. Keep it stable so you can walk back and forth and not be crushed, or the wormhole wouldn't collapse on you like as it does sometimes on Star Trek. That you could keep the gateway open. So the catch is, of course, we do not have the ability to manipulate the energy of a black hole, and we can only create microscopic, minuscule quantities of negative energy in the laboratory. And so we're far, far away from being able to use the power of a wormhole. But are they possible? Yes. Do we know for sure? Well, no, because ultimately we have to rely on a higher theory to stabilize a black hole, and that theory is string theory. That's what I do for a living. That's my day job. Unfortunately, string theory is not yet advanced enough to answer all these questions. It gives us tantalizing clues that these questions are answerable, but the mathematics is horrendous. I know because I work on it. The mathematics is horrendous. At the present time, no one can conclusively say that wormholes exist and are stable. Now, some physicists have published articles saying that maybe they can be found naturally, like in Star Trek. The Big Bang inflated a tiny piece of the universe, and maybe there was a wormhole there, in which case the wormhole would have been inflated too, giving us a naturally occurring wormhole, just like in Deep Space Nine. Well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question, make that comment, and get on national radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Rescuers continue to look through the pile of rubble in Surfside, Florida, at the site of last week's collapse of a high-rise condo. 22 people are now confirmed dead. 22 are still missing. That number has been revised after duplicate names were removed and a few of the missing turned up safe.
We are truly experiencing an unprecedented disaster, and the extraordinary men and women of Miami-Dade and our federal and state partners continue their mission and the search and rescue no matter what is thrown our way.
Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava. The search efforts could be hampered by Elsa, the Category 1 hurricane.
There is a risk of storm surge, wind, and rainfall impacts in both the Keys and portions of the Florida Peninsula early next week.
That's Dennis Felkin with the National Hurricane Center in Miami. This is USA Radio News. Another tower in Florida is a sister to the one that collapsed. Residents there are speaking out as we hear from USA's Brad Bernards.
About a block from the Miami area beachfront condominium tower that collapsed sits its sister building. Most have remained, including Nora and Philip Zine.
For some reason, I feel some kind of peace in our building. It's very well maintained. We've never had any problems. And I don't know. I just want to be home. And I believe we were told yesterday that it was okay. It was not mandatory. Our daughter and her husband and family want us to go there, but I don't know. I don't know. I want to be here still.
Audio courtesy CNN. From the USA Radio News West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
Many people are saying that the sister condo, which was built the same as the one that collapsed, should be torn down. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Yes, if you want to get on Science Fantastic and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask, give us a call at 612-564-8135. You'll get a recording. When you hear the recording, leave your name, call letters of the radio station, if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask away. Ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you.
You know, many people, when they walk down the street, they're clueless, absolutely clueless about the world around them. Why does the wind blow? Where does the weather come from? How old are the mountains? Why do the stars shine? How far are they? How old is the universe and where did it come from? We're like leaves in the wind, just clueless about the basics of where we are in the universe. Well, I'm a physicist. I can answer every single one of those questions. And if you have one of these questions, why not ask it on national radio? Some people think, well, my question is too dumb. People are going to laugh. Well, chances are, if you have a question, chances are thousands of other people have that same dumb question. And so it's okay to ask it on national radio because a lot of people probably have exactly the same question. So give us a call at 612-564-8135. Go to my website. We've archived previous shows. The website is mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. And it lists all the radio stations that take time. Science Fantastic. Okay, let's move on now and take the next listener phone call.
Hello, my name is William. I am calling from Port Orange, Florida. I'm listening to what looks like WNDB 93.5. My question is in regards to light behaving as a wave and a particle and or a particle. I've seen some videos and read some explanations about how it changes its behavior when there is an observer, so in other words, the observer effect. And I have also heard some explanations that when it is observed, it's really just measured, and the act of measuring does something to it that makes it behave as a particle and or wave again. So I was just wondering if it is something that science is just assuming, that when they are observed that it changes its behavior, or if there is actual scientific proof that the observation messes with the experiment and collapses the wave function. Thank you very much. I love science.
Well, the answer to your questions is yes. Yes, 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 yes. Next question. Well, let me answer them one at a time now and break it down. First of all, the ancients used to wonder, what is light anyway? How fast does it move? What is it? It's such a fantastic thing, light. Well, we could actually answer all those questions now. Well, first of all, Newton thought that light was a particle. It was a particle that, when it went through a prism, would break up into colors, giving us the rainbow, but it was particulate. It was a particle. Then came other experiments where we showed that light waves can interfere with other light waves, and maybe that's what's happening with light. And so we began to think that light had a frequency, it had a wavelength, and it was vibrations. Then finally, in the 1860s, James Clerk Maxwell, a theoretical physicist in Cambridge University, made one of the greatest insights in the history of science, which made modern technology possible. All of it because of Maxwell. However, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we'll try to answer the question, what the hell is light anyway? Is it a wave? Is it a particle? Is something in between? What is it? Well, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and you can ask that question on national radio. Give us a call.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And before the break, we had a very important question, which goes to the heart of modern physics today and why modern physics is so bizarre. Why is the quantum theory one of the weirdest theories ever proposed? And yet we need the quantum theory. Without the quantum theory, well, there's no radio, there's no television, there's no electronics. Modern technology, the transistor, lasers, all of it depends upon the quantum theory. And it boils down to a simple question. Is light a particle or a wave? Newton thought light was a particle. Other people showed that light has wave-like properties. It has a wavelength. It has a frequency. And it's very similar to other forms of electromagnetic radiation. And the next big step was taken in the 1860s by James Clerk Maxwell. He showed that if I take an electric field and vibrate it, it creates a magnetic field. And if I take a magnet and shake a magnet, it creates an electric field. So then he asked a key question. If I vibrate an electric field to create a magnetic field, which creates an electric field to create a magnetic field, then does it propagate? Does it move all by itself? Well, he showed that it does. A wave like ripples on a pond forms out of magnetism and electricity. And then he calculated the speed of that wave, and he was shocked. Absolutely shocked. This is one of the greatest breakthroughs in the history of Homo sapiens. He found that vibrating electric and magnetic fields that you can create in your own living room, the vibrations travel at the speed of light. And then he uttered the most important words of all time. He said, "Maybe this is light." And he was right.
Light is an electromagnetic wave. When it vibrates even faster, it turns into ultraviolet radiation. When it vibrates slower, it turns into infrared. In fact, if you vibrate it at different frequencies, it turns into television, radio, ultraviolet, gamma rays. All the colors, all the radiations that you hear about can be summarized by vibrating electric and magnetic fields. The next breakthrough came with the quantum theory, and it was Einstein himself who said that light is based on photons, particles. So now we had a conflict. We had a war raging in physics, where Newton and Einstein said that light was a particle. Everyone else said, no, it's a wave. We can refract it, reflect it. It has a wavelength. We know everything about waves. So who's right? Well, actually, both are right. It was Max Born, the physicist, who finally put these two things together in a way that Einstein hated. Sorry about that, but Albert was wrong on this one. It turns out that light is a particle. It is made out of photons. Photons are particles of light. So, to answer your question, is light a particle or a wave? Well, it's a particle. But the probability of finding the particle at any given point is given by a wave. So if the wave is strong at a certain point, it's likely to be there. Well, Einstein hated that idea. What? Likely? Probability? Chance? Come on, give me a break. The march of science, said Einstein, was to reduce uncertainty, to eliminate all the likelihoods of this and the likelihoods of that, to get definitive answers. So Einstein thought that the universe consisted of tiny little steel balls. These little steel balls, you knew exactly where they were. You knew their velocity, the position, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the common sense point of view, by the way. You consciously or unconsciously think that everything is made out of definite little objects. You know exactly where they are, when they are, end of story. Well, sorry about that. That's not true. The quantum theory says that light has with it a wave, and the wave tells you where it is most likely to be found. So if the wave maximum in a certain area, then chances are that's where it is. That's called the uncertainty principle, that you don't really know where anything is at any given point, meaning that an electron, you don't really know where it is. It could be two places at the same time. Now, at this point, you may say to yourself, whoa, stop right there. Two places at the same time? Well, yes, two places at the same time. And what are the practical applications of this? Transistors, lasers, diodes, computers, iPods, the internet, all of them based upon this bizarre idea that electrons can be two places at the same time, and the probability of finding that damn electron is given by a wave. This is amazing. When I look at myself in a mirror, I realize, first of all, I'm not really looking at myself at all. I'm looking at myself, first of all, a billionth of a second ago. Let's take another short commercial break, and let's get back to Science Fantastic.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
By Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Before the break, we have one of the great paradoxes of all time. How can you be two places at the same time? Well, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way the universe operates. Now, the questioner asks, do you have to make a measurement to find out where that particle is? And yes, you have to make a measurement. And in that sense, that determines where the electron is. Now, at this point, Einstein really flipped out and said, are you saying that the process of measurement, which determines consciousness, that consciousness determining measurement determines the position of a particle? Well, Einstein hated that. What? Consciousness determining existence? Einstein thought that existence was totally independent of thought. Well, according to the Bohr interpretation, objects exist at a definite place when you make a measurement, and that requires consciousness. Now, what do modern physicists say? Most of my friends, some of them Nobel Prize winners, believe in the many worlds interpretation, and that is that the universe splits in half. The electron is one place in one universe, but the electron could be another place in another universe. The universe is constantly splitting apart, and that's how you get around all the paradoxes of the quantum theory, that you don't have to have consciousness to make a measurement to determine where something is. Something is in many places because the universe splits into parallel universes. Now, if you want to know more about this, get a copy of my book, Parallel Worlds, where I talk about this. Now, does this mean that some people who have died in our universe are still alive in another universe? Well, this may freak some people out, but the answer to that is yes. In the multiverse interpretation, you can die in one universe and still live in another universe. Now, what's the catch? There's always a catch someplace. The catch is the probability of meeting that dead person is extremely small. So small that it's not going to happen in the lifetime of the universe. So chances are, if you've died in our universe, that even if you are alive in another universe, you'll never be able to go back to the original universe you came from. Sorry about that. Okay, well, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Hello, Professor Kaku. This is Jesse from Houston. I watch you on YouTube, watch your podcast, and listen to questions and everything. It's pretty helpful. It's very helpful, actually. I had a couple questions for you about the Parker Solar Probe. I know we're going to launch that pretty soon, a couple days, I think, a few days from now. And I understand what it does and what it's going to do and all that, but what do you think that we're going to find new particles that we've never seen before, so since we're so close to the sun, or new elements or new things that we don't know about that's going to ask more questions? And the other question was, what are we going to do with that probe? Is it going to come back to Earth, or is it going to do like a kamikaze mission, like Cassini did with Cassini? Are they going to do that with a Parker Solar Probe or no? Because I've never heard anything about it, so I was just seeing if you knew any more about it and about new elements that might show up with the Parker Solar Probe.
Well, the short answer is no. We're not going to find new particles. New particles would require another Large Hadron Collider, a $10 billion machine outside Switzerland. However, we hope to find answers to many mysteries of our sun. For example, there was a mini ice age during the medieval period. Paintings done during the Middle Ages show that certain lakes were frozen over, lakes which are not frozen over today. People are ice skating on these frozen lakes. Temperatures dropped tremendously during the certain period of the Middle Ages called the Mini Ice Age. Some people think that the variation in the sun's intensity caused that. Also, giant solar flares could wipe out communications and cause tremendous disruption on the Earth. The Carrington event of 1859, Google it, Carrington event, created so much solar activity that it wiped out telegraph transmissions on the Earth. The northern lights, usually seen in the North Pole, could be seen in Cuba. That's how powerful the radiation was from the sun. If that radiation from the Carrington event were to happen again, all hell would break loose. Property damage, $2 trillion in property damage. We'd have blackouts everywhere. Food riots would break out. Communications would go down. The internet, weather satellites, everything would go down. It would be horrible. We would be thrown back maybe 100 years into the past if another Carrington event were to happen. Could it happen again? The answer is yes. But why? I mean, how often would it happen again? It turns out that several years ago, we just missed a solar flare that could have given us another Carrington event. How often are they? We don't know the answer to a lot of those questions. So we hope to find the answer by sending probes near the sun. And, well, unfortunately, many of these probes are not going to come back. Sorry about that. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, Dr. Kaku. This is Ken. I'd like to ask about whether or not Lewis Carroll had any influence on relativity theory. As I understand it, he, in his second book of Alice, he wrote down that Alice was walking down this road that constantly changed the direction and constantly warped the path, so that when she was trying to leave a house, the road itself would change so that she would re-enter the house. The way he described it was very similar to the way relativity is described in Einstein's work. I'd like to know that, being that Lewis Carroll was a mathematician, did he have any role in the invention of relativity? Thank you.
Well, first of all, Lewis Carroll was not Lewis Carroll. He was Charles Dodgson. He wrote under a pen name because distinguished Oxford professors of mathematics are not supposed to write children's books, which then became a monster bestseller. Queen Victoria read Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland has wormholes, for example. The Looking Glass of Alice is a wormhole predicted by Einstein in 1935. But was there a direct relationship between Alice in Wonderland and Albert Einstein? To the best of our knowledge, no. We know many of the influences that influenced Einstein. One of them was a children's book. When he was a child, a children's book asked the question, what happens if you could ride alongside a telegraph wire, or ride alongside electricity in a telegraph wire? Einstein, as a 16-year-old child, changed that into a light beam, and from that got special relativity. Okay, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, this is Science Fan. Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. So give us a call. 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.